Time for this week's edition of Sports Lit 101. Our friend Bruce was having some dental work done this week, so I was not going to be available to us today, but Bruce was kind enough to swing by earlier this week and offer this week's Sports Lit.
Well, I decided to take a look at a book which I've had for about a month or so and haven't really had a chance to get into. It's called Different Strokes, Serena, Venus, and the Unfinished Black Tennis Revolution by Cecil Harris. Harris has written extensively on African-Americans and tennis, but he's also communications writer and editor at Albert Einstein College of Medicine, Montefiore Medical Center in New York. And some of what's in this book, just a small portion of it, will be familiar to people that heard us talk about Ray Arsenault's biography of Arthur Ashe last year. And some other things we've talked about with Althea Gibson, about Althea Gibson and the like. But what makes this really a tantalizingly interesting book is not just the fact that right now African-American athletes are trying to use their fame and their wealth and their popularity to help make the desperately needed changes in our country, but it's also a time when in the terms of the Williams sisters, two people who revolutionized tennis, Venus and her younger sister, Serena, it's a time to say to ourselves, we're almost a quarter of the way through this century. And I think you can make the point, I would not argue with anyone who said this, that Serena Williams might be the greatest American athlete of that time. And while this book is told within the framework of their careers, there are chapters dedicated to Ashe, to Althea Gibson, to early black tennis, to Dr. Johnson and people we talked about when we talked about Ashe. But they also, he goes into something which I was completely unaware of, and something which I guess I should have taken for granted. And we'll get to that in a minute. That's about the use of African-American officials at major tennis events. But let's think about what it is about the Williams sisters. Nobody in the Open era has come close to winning the number of major titles that Serena has won. And Venus has been, for most of that time, the second best tennis player. For a long time, she was. And in fact, she was number one before Serena was. But consider this. Since 2003, no American man has won a major tennis title since Andy Roddick won the Open, U.S. Open in 2003. But Venus and Serena have combined to win 30 major titles in singles, 23 for Serena, 7 for Venus, and 14 more as a doubles team. Now, if you look at the absolute total number of major titles, I believe Margaret Court may have won more, but Margaret Court was playing against part-time tennis players. Most of the people were amateurs then. I don't think there's anybody in the world that thinks Margaret Court would have stood any kind of a chance against someone as good as Serena. When we talked with Ray Arsenault about his book and about Arthur Ashe, we talked a lot about the kind of person you have to be to be successful as an African-American tennis player. It's still a wealthy white person's sport. Many, many, many of the top tennis players have gone to these academies in Florida or California where their parents have spent $80,000 a year to try and turn them into tennis players. The great story about the Williams is that their dad, Richard, saw how much money that women tennis players could make and said to his wife, we should have two daughters and teach them how to make that kind of money. And that's what he did. But he didn't teach them to be great tennis stars by being an overbearing stage dad. What he did was he went out and he took tennis lessons from somebody who was pretty good. The guy wanted to be paid in whiskey, so I don't know how long the lessons lasted. And he read everything he could find on tennis. He studied it. He watched tennis. He got the kids' rackets. He used money from his various businesses. They lived in Compton, hardly one of the bastions of white privilege or wealth. And eventually, they were able to resettle in Florida. And the story from there is a pretty meteoric rise for both sisters. But what's sort of interesting here is that had they not gone to the extraordinary, there was no one that was going to be getting them out of Compton to play tennis. They had to do it themselves. It's not the same way that young African-American men and African-American women can look at WNBA stars or NBA stars or and the like and say, okay, I want to be like that guy. There aren't many role models. I mean, besides Arthur Ashe and James Blake and a few other African-American male players, there haven't been many on the tour. Today, Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens are sort of the next generation of people of color, women of color on the tennis circuit. But it's still basically a white country club sport. And part of the other problem is that none of the officials anymore are African-American to speak of. There's the occasional token because there was a fellow named Tony Nimmons, N-I-M-M-O-N-S, who had been on track to become one of the top officials in tennis, had just never got to get that final match at Forest Hills or at the Arthur Ashe Stadium or at Wimbledon or something like that. And there's a pretty consistent, and there have been a lot of lawsuits about this, pretty consistently, the powers that be in tennis, even when Katrina Harris, African-American, was president of the Tennis Association, to keep black officials out, to keep this as white a sport as they could. The book is really great in that it's nonlinear. It moves. It's got some great photographs. But it also doesn't try and turn this into an academic exercise. This is a very, very readable book. It's 220 or so pages long. And I was able to read it in three sittings, and I make a lot of notes. It takes me a little longer to read these than it might take someone else. But I would really recommend it. Different Strokes, Serena, Venus, and the Unfinished Black Tennis Revolution by Cecil Harris from our good friends at the University of Nebraska Press. And it comes just highly highly rated by a number of tennis journalists and other sports journalists. So it's a good book. People should read it.
There you go. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce Pratt, Sports Lit 101, every Wednesday here on the program.